大概罗马书第十二章。
Romans chapter 12。
罗马书第十二章。
Romans chapter 12。
我们再度已经讲过的一节的圣经。
We want to read the verse that we have already spoken about.
我们大家一同开声来读第八节。
Verse 8。
和做劝化的就当专一劝化，施舍的就当诚实，治理的就当殷勤，怜悯人的就当甘心在那里死，和做劝化的就当专一劝化，施舍的就当诚实，治理的就当殷勤，怜悯人的就当甘心。我们上个礼拜已经可以说讲完了这一段。
Last week we can almost say that we have finished.
但我在看七年前我传讲这些信息的时候，
But I look at some of the transcript I had seven years ago.
我发现主有一些引导，应当对你们更讲更清楚。
I discovered that the Lord has some guidance for me to teach.
所以把我七年前的一些的讲章的副稿，我就放在圣经里面。
And so I put some of the copies of my transcript.
昨天我带到飞机上。
Yesterday I brought it to.
等我下飞机的时候，圣经不见了，那副稿也不见了。
When I alighted, I lost the Bible and also the copy.
但是正稿还留在印尼。
But the original is still in Indonesia.
所以今天决定把一些重要的东西告诉你们。
And I have decided to tell you something very important.
劝化的要专一劝化。
And those who counsel must focus on counseling.
这个是圣经的一个很重要的侍奉的工作。
This is a very important ministry in the Bible.
因为每一个人都可能慢慢养成，只有我对，你们不必劝我的那种自私跟刚愎。这个是心态。
Many of us will become very stubborn, and we do not want other people to encourage us.
所以我们一生一世要有一个受教的耳朵。
And so in all our life, we ought to be teachable.
愿意从别人的身上得到好处。
That we are willing to gain from others.
愿意学习在我们身上没有，在别人身上有的那些优点。
And to learn the things that are good in other people.
特别是那些比我们有经验的人。
Especially those who are more experienced than us.
比我们有智慧的人。
Those who are wiser than us.
用爱心劝我们的时候。
Those who encourage us with love.
用诚实的话对我们讲出我们的缺点的时候。
Especially when they are honest and point out our mistakes.
我们就应当谦卑听他们。
In humility, we need to listen to them.
这种留着一个空间，让神可以继续对我们说话的这个心态是非常重要。
We ought to have an attitude where there is room in our heart that God can continue to speak.
有一些人读了神学，毕业以后从来不要听别人讲。
Some people, when they graduate from the seminary, would never want to listen to others.
他以为只是他对人讲，没有人可以对他讲。
They think that they are the only one that can teach others.
所以我们看见很多传道人神学毕业那一天就一生一世没有再进步了。
And so we see a lot of preachers not improving after they graduate.
因为他所读的几年的东西讲不到两年也讲完了。
And they finish preaching all they have within 2 years.
他自己不再深入思想，不再以创造性的这个发挥去把神的隐藏的奥秘把它挖掘出来。
And they don't think in depth about the mystery of the word of God, and there's no creativity.
当他侍奉的年龄越来越增加的时候，
and as they serve and they age,
他就以为自己越来越是权威了。
They would think that they have become an authority.
既然我是权威，你还能对我讲什么呢？
Since I'm an authority, there's nothing I can learn from you.
这种封闭自义的心态就是永远不能长进的原因。
And this self-righteous attitude will block them from improvement.
相反的，我看见有一些的传道一直进步，一直进步。
On the contrary, I see some preachers always improving.
他毕业的那一天对他来说不是结束，是一个开始。
The day of graduation is but a commencement.
所以如果他把他的开始当作是继续不断的学习的一个起点的话，他就有永无止息的发挥可能。
And if they understand that graduation is just a commencement, they will always have the potential to grow.
我常常在神学毕业典礼的时候，
usually in graduation ceremony,
对他说这是你的结束，而实在说是你的开始。
I always tell the students that this is actually a beginning.
如果一个人能把他的 omega point 转化变成一个 new 这个 alpha point， 这个人是有前途。
If a person can treat his omega point as a new starting alpha point, he has a future.
一个女孩子结婚了，终于我嫁了，完了。
When a girl get married and she says, "Finally, I'm married," that's the end.
如果她说我竟然嫁了，开始做别人的媳妇，开始做别人的妻子，开始可能做别人的母亲。他用开始的眼光看自己，他就有前途。
But if she has an attitude that this is the new beginning as a wife, as a daughter-in-law, as a mother, then there is a future.
所以今天你一定要注意这句话。
So you got to take note of this.
每一次你的 omega point 就是另外一个时期的 alpha point。
Every time you have an omega point, it is the beginning and alpha point of another era.
我今天已经侍奉主46年了。
I have already served the Lord for 46 years.
我上个礼拜就回到我的教会参加祷告会的时候。
Last week when I went back to my prayer
meeting, 早上六点钟我就参加祷告会。
6 a.m. I already.
我听过一个很年轻的学生讲到，我很受感动。
I was deeply moved by one of my students.
因为上帝在借着很年轻的传道人对我讲话。
Because God was speaking to me through this young person.
他讲了一件我不敢想象的事情。
He said something that I had never imagined.
他说7年前我还没有做传道的时候。
He said 7 years ago before I became a preacher.
我是印尼最重要的印度尼西亚大学像你们的马达学生会的主席。
I was the chairman of the student union in the university.
一方面领人归主。
On the one hand, I brought others to Christ.
一方面我自己要试验自己对神有没有信心。
But at the same time, I wanted to see if I had faith in God.
所以有一天我的钱用完了。
One day I ran out of money.
我那一天吃饭的钱都没有的时候。
I didn't even have money to eat.
我就祷告主啊，求你用你的手来托住。
And I pray for the Lord to sustain me with
His hand. 如果你要试验我过一段贫穷没有饭吃的日子。
Are you giving a trial that I may go through poverty?
我愿意顺服你。
If that's the case,
所以他等等等，结果3天没有吃饭。
He waited for 3 days and there was no food.
现在的日子还有大学生3天不吃饭的。
Isn't it strange? A university student will starve for 3 days.
饿到半死的时候。
When he was very hungry.
一个声音来的，你爸爸很有钱，向他要钱买东西吃很容易嘛。
A voice came, your father is very rich. Just ask him for money.
他说不，我不是靠地上的爸爸，我靠天上的父亲。
He said, "No, I am relying on my heavenly father."
而且我是已经预备了，等上帝训练我顺服他到底。
And have prepared to be obedient to God for His training.
所以他的父啊，如果你要给我再过一段时间没有东西吃，我还是顺服你。
He said, "Father, I'm still obedient if you want me to starve further."
那么上帝有没有听他的祷告呢
？Did the Lord hear his prayer?
第四天还没有饭吃。
For the fourth day, there was no food.
第五天还没有饭吃。
On the fifth day, no food.
第六天还没有饭吃。
Also on the sixth.
第七天还没有饭吃。
On the seventh day, there was still no food.
他说：“主啊。”还有多少天
Yes, oh Lord, how many more days?
第八天的时候
On the eighth day,
有一个不认识的人会拿一个信封给他里面有一些钱
A stranger came with an envelope with money in there
第八天才吃第一餐
And on the eighth day, he
他流着眼泪说上帝我知道你不是忘记我的
And with tears in his eyes, he said, Oh Lord, I now know that you have not forgotten
me 后来他奉献做传道
When he gave up his life as a preacher
我们叫他叫4年他已经神学毕业已经做传道了
We have taught him for 4 years. He's
really. 我也知道去年他失恋，他所爱的女孩子父母亲绝对不把那女儿嫁给他。
And I know that last year he lost his girlfriend because the parents refused to accept.
所以他苦得不得了。
So he was suffering.
前不久我只知道他失恋，不知道他曾经7天没有饭吃。
I only knew that he fell out of love. I didn't know about this starving incident.
我问他说：“你失恋苦不苦啊？”
I asked him, "Is it very tough?"
苦得不得了，对不对？
He said yes.
因为我从前失恋苦得不得了。
Because I once went through the same thing.
他说什么事？
He said.
他说曾经苦，现在不必苦了。
He said, "Now I'm okay."
因为上帝一定有另外的预备。
I know that God will prepare something else.
不是人的事情，是神的事情。
This is God's matter.
我们虽然已经侍奉几十年了
，Although we have served for many decades,
听见这些年轻人这样讲话
，When we listen to a young person say this,
我们内心感谢主
，Deep in my heart, I give thanks to God.
我们内心受感动
，And we were moved.
有时候感到，如果他比我更爱主，我很羞愧。
Sometimes I feel if he loved a lot more, I would be ashamed.
所以礼拜六早上他讲完道以后
，After he preached on Saturday morning,
我感谢上帝
，I give thanks to God.
这个时代还有这样的青年
，That there are still such a young person in this era.
还有这样神被神磨练出来的
，A person who still was willing to be used by God.
礼拜天早上我讲到的时候
，So when I was preaching on Sunday morning,
我就对我们教会1000多人来听到的人说
，I spoke to my congregation of more than 1,000.
我们中间有一个传道人曾经7天不吃饭被神磨练。
I said that there is a preacher among us who did not eat for 7 days.
这样的人，神不可能不用他。
A person like that, the Lord will surely use him.
我讲这句话的时候，很多人受感动。
When I said that, many people were moved in their hearts.
前面的两个人就是他所喜欢的女孩子的父母亲。
And the 2 persons in front was the parents of his ex-girlfriend.
会不会以后懊悔没有把女儿嫁给他？我不知道。
I don't know whether they will regret not letting her.
但我要告诉你，
him,
我们预备一个耳朵，
we will prepare
常常听。
To often listen,
还有什么神要对我们说的话
to the words of God,
还有什么可以使我们更爱主的
to things that will help us love him more,
永远更新
that we will always
永远追求
always moving ahead.
如果你有这样的心智
if you have such an attitude,
你有预备的耳朵
you have a teachable
你有受教的心
a heart that is teachable,
你一定会继续不断领受劝化
You will continue to receive counseling.
那我们对别人的劝勉也是如此。
This is the way we should counsel and encourage.
有一些人不能听人的话的。
Some people will not listen.
你讲他只有辩论，他就轻看，他就妒忌，他就反对你。
There's only debate, despise, and envy.
所以圣经告诉我们
，The Bible says,
你不要用一些愚昧的话回答愚昧的人。
Do not use foolish words to reply to the fool.
又说你要用愚昧的话回答愚昧的人。
But also, you should use foolish words to reply.
那今天我不解释那两个 paradox 的事情。
I don't want to explain this paradox.
但耶稣基督说
，But Jesus Christ,
智慧人总以智慧为事。
Those people who are wise will treat wisdom
as the most important thing. 如果你真正用智慧劝勉那些肯听的人
，You will use wisdom to encourage those who listen.
那你就做了一个劝化的人。
And then you will be an encourager.
他就做一个肯被劝能化的人。
But that person will be a person who can be molded.
如果你发现一个人根本不能劝的，你不要勉强他。
If you find that someone will never ever listen, don't force him.
因为耶稣又说，你不要把珍珠丢给猪，不要把圣物交给狗。
Jesus Christ said, "We are not to cast pearls before swine and the sacred things before dogs."
因为这些人根本不会尊重那劝化那些真理的话语。
Because these people will never respect the truth.
劝化的人要专一劝化。
When you encourage, let him encourage.
接着又是施舍的人，你要诚实。
And then he says, "We ought to give generously."
施舍最重要的就是帮助在贫穷缺乏中间的人。
We give to help those people who are in need, in poverty.
那么谁是真正贫穷的人？
Who are the people who are truly in need?
上个礼拜我们想到谁是应当得到多余的钱的人。
Last week we talked about who deserve to be helped.
今天我要与大家思想谁是贫穷的人。
And today I want to think about those who are poor.
为什么人间有贫穷的现象产生出来？
Why is there poverty in humanity?
贫穷的定义到底是什么？
What is the definition of poverty?
单单用这个题目，我们又可以讨论一两个钟头。
Again, we can speak for hours.
但我只要把几个可能性的大点提出来而已。
But I want to show you some main points.
第一样的贫穷是什么贫穷？
The first type of poverty.
自然资源缺乏的地带的贫穷。
Comes from the lack of natural resource.
一个人住在一个很穷的地区的时候。
When a person lives in a place without natural resource.
那么那个地方的人就差不多都是穷的。
All the citizens would be poor.
因为他们的自然资源缺乏。
They don't have any natural resource.
他们没有一些矿产，没有一些农产，没有一些土产。
They don't have minerals or produce from the land.
那区的地方叫做贫穷的地带。
And so we say these are land of poverty.
我们中国人从前有一个话语形容贵州省的贫穷。
In China, there is a word to describe the poverty of Guizhou.
天无山的晴。天空没有三天是晴天的。
There is no, in that place, there is no 3 days of sunshine.
地无三里平。
And there is no 3 miles of flat land.
人无三分云。
And there is no 30% of richness.
There are no $3
in each man's pocket.
所以每个人都是穷得不得了。
In other words, in Guizhou, everybody's poor.
这种贫穷是自然的贫穷。
These are poverty from nature.
是这个自然资源的缺乏的贫穷。
Because there is no resource.
那这个是比较平均的事情。
This is pretty equal.
第二种贫穷是什么？
The second type.
因为懒惰而达到的贫穷。
Poverty that comes from laziness.
如果一个人很殷勤的话，
If a person is diligent,
他可以转变他的四周的环境。
He can change his environment.
他可以用他的智慧改变他不利的地形。地产或者地的这个状况。
With wisdom, he can transform the land of poverty.
当我在瑞士研究布道学的时候
，When I was studying in Switzerland about missionology,
我在几个乡村里面注意看看他们的农产、他们的工作、他们的精神是什么。
I went to some farms and to try to understand what their attitude is.
因为全世界的经济学都知道，瑞士是全世界他们的这个产品跟他们的人口比例中间最富有的产量的一个国家。
All economists know that the Swiss produce the highest quality goods with the highest return.
这个小小的国家凭着什么资格？每一个人一年平均的收入是差不多$40,000。
Why is it that this small country has a GDP of about $40,000?
所以我就注意了。
So I took a look.
结果发现这个地方的土地很贫乏。
I found that they have a very poor quality in their land.
瑞士的山多得不得了。
They had lots of mountains and hills.
冰天雪地，山景漂亮的不得了。
It's very beautiful in the scenery.
所以他们能耕种的土地少的不得了。
But very few land that can be
farmed. 这样的地区百姓为什么会很富有呢？
But why are the people so wealthy?
后来我走到一个农田里面的时候，
When I went to a farm,
我发现臭的不得了。
I discovered it was very smelly.
拍起照来美的不得了，秀起来臭的不得了。
The photograph is very beautiful, but the place smells.
因为他们的土地不是很富。
They didn't have very fertile
所以他们要加很多的肥料。
So they got to add fertilizers.
他们的肥料是不是像中国就天然的肥料，我都不知道。
I don't know whether they are natural fertilizers.
或者是化学的肥料。
Or chemical ones.
总而言之， 1969年 我在瑞士那几个月我嗅到的泥土是很臭的。
In 1996 in Switzerland, the soil smells.
但是瑞士产的很多好的葡萄。
But they had good grapes.
他们没有像马来西亚这么多的水果。
They didn't have that many fruits in Malaysia.
那么他们就所能耕种所能得到的， 就发挥他们的经济的潜在呢。
But they developed their limited resources in economy.
你发现瑞士做的东西都不大， 但是都是最贵。
You discover that the things that Swiss produce are not very large but very expensive.
瑞士做了世界最好的手巾。
They make the best
瑞士做了世界最好的皮鞋。
The best shoes
手巾
or the best handkerchief.
他们做了世界最好的领带。
They make the best tie.
他们做了世界最好的最小的录音机。
The best recorder.
有一些这个专业用的小录音机，你名字可能没有听过的。
And some professional quality recorder, you may not have heard it before.
叫做Nagra.
Like Nagra.
谁是听过的请举手？ 一个都没有知道，我30年前就知道了。 Nagra.
Nagra is professional.
很好很好录音机，小小的。
A recorder for the professional.
录的成绩就是广播电台用的那种高水准。
It's a broadcast quality product.
瑞士做了世界最好最好的手表。
And of course they have the best watches.
Patek Philippe, Fashion Constantin, Audemars Piguet, 还有这个Blancpain, 不要讲其他，你大概知道 Rolex, Omega, 这些最好的手表是瑞士。
And we all know Swiss watches.
所以他们不必大的地皮才有好的经济。
So they did not have a big piece of land.
他们呢可以用小小的店铺卖几个几十万美金的手表， 他就可以赚很多钱。
With a small shop front, they can sell very expensive.
当然，大概一年卖三个就可以了。
They can sell about three a year. That would be enough.
那个便宜表一卖3000个也不会赚多少钱。
And you have cheap watches, you won't help you very much.
所以，如果一个国家
if a country
因为贫穷
because of its poverty
就不用头脑的话
if it refuses to think
他们就永远贫穷。
They will always be
poor. 如果头脑不用 手也不用的话
if you don't use your brains or your hands
他就更贫穷。
You will become even poorer.
这样贫穷是因为天然资源的缺乏呢？
So poverty, does it come from natural resources?
或者因为你懒惰不思想不做工呢？
Or does it come from laziness?
第三种贫穷，
The third type of
是因为比较产生的贫穷感，不是贫穷。
It's a sense of poverty that comes from comparison.
当你用的是很平常的东西，
When you use something that is very common,
你四周的用的很高贵、很昂贵的东西的时候，
But everybody else uses expensive
stuff, 你就开始感觉我很穷。
You will feel that you're poor.
那么这种贫穷不是真正的贫穷，
But this is not real poverty.
是因为不知足感产生的贫穷。
It comes from a lack of contentment.
这种的贫穷是假的。
This is false poverty.
但是这种贫穷加上没有好的灵性， 就变成对别人的仇恨。
But without spirituality, it will become hatred.
这就是世界经济贫富所产生出来的社会上最可怕的一种现象。
This is the most frightening social phenomena that comes from a comparison between the rich and the poor.
非洲内地的人，
those who live in Africa,
没有外面的人进去他们的社会的时候，
before the outsiders came in,
他们从来没有感到自己贫穷。
They never realized they were poor.
但当他们与别的社会一开放相比的时候，
But when they compare themselves with other societies,
马上感觉原来我这么贫穷。
Suddenly they discover their poverty.
那么这种贫穷产生了以后，
after this sense of poverty,
他们就炫慕别人的富有，
they envy the wealth of others,
炫慕变成妒忌，
and becomes jealous,
妒忌变成仇恨，
jealousy became hatred,
仇恨变成抢夺，
hatred became robbery,
抢夺变成这个社会的暴动，
and robbery became riots.
那么这个就变成所谓的一些的革命， 所谓的一些的这个阶级斗争的原因。
And this is why we have revolutions and class struggles.
当然贫富悬殊应当是人类社会的大的仇敌。
Of course, the big gap between the rich and the poor ought to be a big enemy for humanity.
但我们不但要想说人发财是什么原因，
but we ought to think why some people became
wealthy. 我们也要想为什么一些地区贫穷到底又是什么原因。
And even more, why some people become poor.
所以如果我们要世界的贫富达到平均的话，
if we want equality in wealth,
应该只有两条的路线，
There are probably only two ways.
第一条的路线就是强迫有钱人把钱分给穷人。
The first one is to force the wealthy to redistribute their wealth.
第二条的路线
the second one,
是用爱鼓励有钱人分给穷人。
Is with love encourage the wealthy to share.
19世纪中叶的时候
in the middle of the 19th century,
我们看见英国就产生了几个社会学家。
We found some sociologists from England.
这些社会学家就分成两派。
There are two types of
sociology. 一派就是从德国来的马克思。
One is Karl Marx from Germany.
他在伦敦的这个的大英博物馆的图书馆里面。
He was in the library of the British Museum.
继续不断研究社会现象、贫富悬殊的这个困难。
And he was doing a research on the discrepancy between the wealth.
就产生了他的资本论的这种经济学。
And so he has this concept of economy based on capitalism.
另外有一些人
another set of people,
就是在英国的一些有基督教思想去研究这个学问的人
are people who research the same thing using Christian
thinking. 其中有一个叫做 Davidson Morris.
One of them is Davidson Morris.
那么后来到了19世纪结束20世纪开始的时候另外一个德国人在美国就产生了这个社会福音的经济学
At the end of the 19th century, another German came out with the social gospel.
这个人叫做 Rauschenbusch.
A person called Rauschenbusch.
那么 Morris 跟这个 Rauschenbusch.
Both Morris and Bush.
还有另外一个人。
And another person.
就是那个人讲了一句话，基督徒不要把宗教麻醉自己。
The Christians ought not to numb themselves with religion.
这一句话后来马克思把它转变，就变成宗教是人民的鸦片。
And Karl Marx says that religion is the opium of the people.
宗教是人民的鸦片，这句话不是马克思想出来的。
It was not originally from Karl Marx.
它是从另外一个基督徒的书里面抄下来的。
He copied it from another book by a Christian.
然后就把这个改头换面。
And he changed it.
产生了一种新的理论。
And came up with a new
thinking. 那今天我们没有时间好好分析这件事情。
We don't have time to analyze this.
那么在这个 Morris 的书里面
，But in the book of Morris，
同在 Rauschenbusch 的思想里面
，And in the thinking of Bush，
他说社会要平均有可能的。
He said we can have equality in the society，
要有神的力量
，But we must have the power of God，
感动人的心
，To move the heart of
men， 使人产生一种爱的行动
，That we will have action in love，
把丰富的资源分配得更平均
，And redistribute resources。
他说呢，最反对法利赛人的保罗。
He said Paul was against the Pharisees.
从前自己是一个最严谨的法利赛。
But he himself was once a Pharisee.
最反对金发主义的托尔斯泰。
And Tolstoy who was against the military.
从前自己是一个很高职位的军官。
He himself was a high position officer.
那么他把很多这些例子提出来。
And he gave all these examples.
他的答案就是当神的爱感动人的时候。
To tell us that when the love of God moves us,
人会改变。
We will change.
然后有钱的人要照顾贫穷的人。
And the wealthy will take care of the poor.
这样使社会产生平衡的现象。
That there may be equality in the society.
马克思的思想反过来。
This was the other way around.
他说你要等到有钱人受感动，把钱分给没有钱人，这个不可能的事情。
Karl Marx said it's impossible to wait for the wealthy to be moved.
最好的办法就是把他们的钱抢来。
The best way is to just take the money by
force. 强迫他们
and force them.
一定不可以再剥削穷人。
That they may not exploit the poor.
因为借助剩余价值。
That if you use the residual value.
这样呢，有许多许多的资本家去剥削这个劳动的人的血汗。
The capitalists exploit the laborers.
所以这个事情呢，就到今天没有真正的解决。
Till today, there is no true answer.
因为最伟大的这个经济理论学家
，the greatest economist，
应当是 economic theorist，
economic theorist
是应当是马克思
，ought to have been Karl Marx。
但事实证明，反接受马克思经济理论的，最后一定经济破产。
But the truth is, everybody that follow his answer and doctrine has gone into bankruptcy.
这个理论一实行出来的时候。
And when this theory is in action,
就是完全不能够应付人性中间某一些 X 因素的那个罪性的问题。
What happened was that it cannot deal with the X factor in humanity.
我把这些东西研究的结果呢
？When I study all these things,
我就发现马克思的错误不是经济学的错误，是神学性的错误。
I discovered that the mistake made by Karl Marx is not economic but theology.
马克思的失败，共产主义的失败。 不是经济理论学的失败，是神学性的失败。
The failure of the communists and the Marxists is not because of economic but theology.
They fail to understand human nature according to the revelation of God, who is the creator of human beings.
他们没有办法了解上帝的启示，有关于人的本性。
所以对人性有罪的玷污以后产生的社会状况，没有真正照着圣经去了解的时候。
When they cannot understand the humanity based on the Bible,
就产生了对人性的错误解释。
And so they explain the wrong thing.
所以从某一方面来说，他们的动机是很纯洁，目的是很高尚的。
From one angle, their motive was honorable.
但是从另外一边来说，他们的认识是很模糊，他们的手段是很错误的。
But from another angle, their understanding of humanity is vague and wrong.
盼望达到公义的社会。
They wanted a just society.
结果达到的是仇恨的阶级斗争的社会。
But in the end, it is a society of hatred and struggles.
共产主义真正解决了世界贫穷的事情吗？
Did communism solve the problem of poverty?
没有。
No.
所以哪里有共产主义的地方？
Where there is communism,
就养成了仇恨的社会的一个架构。
There will be a structure of hatred.
我告诉你，列宁没有离开世界以前。
Before Lenin left the world,
他最后所讲的话是什么话？
His last words were,
他把他最重要的干部围在他的病床的四周围。
He called all his closest advisors.
他说，除非以后我们苏联的这个未来，
He said, for the future of Russia,
产生50个圣人，
unless we produce 50 saints,
我知道我们的国家是没有前途的。
I know that we have no future.
为了巩固共产党的政权。
In order to consolidate the political power,
我不得不要消除异己。
I will have to destroy opponents.
我斗争废掉那些与我不同意见的人。
And use struggles to get rid of people who are opposing me.
我想不到。
But in the end,
在这个斗争的结果，
in the process of the struggle,
仇恨已经变成了整个国家的毒根蔓延在我们里面。
Hatred becomes a poison that is poisoning our
country. 使我们没有办法挣脱它的影响。
That we cannot escape from his influence.
除了以后有五十个圣人兴起来，
unless we can find 50 saints among us,
苏联的前途是黑暗的。
If not, we have a dark future.
这些的话是他所讲的话真正实现的一种预言。
And these were prophecies that came true.
苏联以后呢，斗来斗去。
In Russia later, there were lots of class
struggle. 每个最高的领袖都是用仇恨做他们的出发点，对付他们的同党。
All the highest leaders get into the position by hatred.
到了1989年的时候
，In 1989,
整个苏维埃联合的这个共产的帝国就垮下去。
The entire Soviet Union dissolved itself.
这是为什么呢
？Why was this the case?
因为他的失败是对神、对人、对圣经所启示的道理不认识，用犯罪以后堕落理性。的这种措施去解释社会，所以产生那种事情。
They failed because they did not understand God, man, the Bible, and the revelation of God, and they used the fallen reason to understand.
所以我讲的这个定义可能是太简洁、太简短的定义。
And this definition perhaps is a little bit too concise.
Communism's failure is the theological failure.
就是共产党的失败是神学上的失败。
他根本不搞神学，是真的吗
？They don't understand theology.
如果你像我一样是研究哲学的话。
If you study philosophy like me,
你会发现马克思
you will find that Marx,
赫格尔
and Hegel,
齐克果
Kierkegaard,
达尔文
Darwin,
这些人都是在大学里面念神学的人。
These were people who studied theology.
这是很可怕的一个宣布。
So it is a very frightening
proclamation. 一个人一边念神学
when a person studied theology,
一边研究圣经
and studied the Bible,
心没有降服在神的主权之下。是很可怕的事。
When their heart is not under the sovereign will of God, is a frightening thing.
求主怜悯我们。
May the Lord have mercy on us.
我今天才第一次听见林国汉牧师，他说放下牧师，走来走去，专做传福音的工作。
And today I hear the Reverend telling us that he will not be a pastor and just go around preaching.
教会当然不会赞成这个事情。
Of course, the church will not agree.
但从良心的深处。
But from his conscience,
我感到这可能就是神以后给他走的道路。
From my conscience, I thought that perhaps God would
我们一定要打开心，让上帝做工。
And allow God to
因为老实说，今天有传福音负担的牧师很少。
Very few pastors today have this burden for evangelism.
你做了牧师，饭碗已经定了。
Once we become a pastor, our future is set.
地位已经稳了。
We have the status.
很多人不再想到底神要他做什么。
Very few people would think about what God wants them to do.
到处游行去做布道，谁供应你的收入还不知道。
You will know who will pay your bills when you go around preaching.
这个如果没有神的感动是不可能的。
If the Lord does not inspire this person, it will not be possible.
1986年的时候
，In 1986，
全世界福音大会 ，Billy Graham 在这个 Amsterdam 这个召集了6000多个传道人。
Billy Graham gathered 6,000 evangelists at Amsterdam.
其中我是一个讲员。
I was one of the speakers.
我也带领860个亚洲讲英文的，那是布道家。
I was to lead 860 English
evangelism. 训练他们怎么样预备布道会的信息。
And prepare them to preach and gospel rally.
大会的秘书处寄一封信给我。
The secretary sent me a letter.
他的 Dr. Tong.
And he wrote down there, Dr. Tong.
Please.
请你
take notice.
你要注意这件事情。
These people who evangelized everywhere in Asia,
这些在亚洲到处传福音的
人 they did not have the very high level of education.
可能他们的教育水准不是很高。
所以你不要讲得太深。
So don't be too profound.
但是我听到另外一个报告是什么呢
？When I look at the report,
全世界的华人牧师传道没有一个是百分之百只做福音工作的。
I realized that not a single Chinese pastor concentrates only on evangelism 100%.
这个不是我找出来的。
This is not from my own research.
是 Billy Graham Association 所做的统计报告出来的。
But from a summary by the Billy Graham Group.
There's not even one full-time itinerary evangelist among the Chinese preachers.
没有一个全职专注于传福音的。
只做传福音的传道牧师一个都没有。
Not even one concentrating on evangelism
alone. 所以一面收了信，一面做讲演，一面看到这些报告。我心里很矛盾。
I was feel irony in my heart.
好，现在我们回到刚才讲的这些话。
Let's go back to this.
当我们看见社会很多困难的事情的时候
，When we see lots of difficulties in the society,
有许多贫穷现象的时候
，When we see poverty,
我们今天到底要怎样处理这个事情
？What sort of response should we have?
我们先查出贫穷的原因。
We must first find out why there's poverty.
自然资源的贫穷。
Is it because of natural resources?
因为人性懒惰的贫穷。
Is it because of laziness?
因为与其他富裕的社会比较的贫穷。
Could it be because of comparison?
这些原因找出来，你才能知道怎样对症下药。
Then you will know what to do.
那有一些人用煽动的办法
，Some people try to move the masses.
使人认为贫穷不应当是他受的这个刑罚。
So that people would realize that poverty should not be a judgment.
别人的富有是不应当有的剥夺性的享受。
And they will move to think that the wealthy are exploitative.
就产生了人与人之间的争，人与人的斗。
And then this idea of violence will come about.
最近这几年
，For the past few years,
中国不再讨论西沙群岛主权的事情。
China does not talk about the Spratly Islands anymore.
这些国家好像也不再多讲这个事情。
The rest of the countries doesn't seem to care.
为什么呢
？Why?
因为中国发现他自己好好发展经济的时候，所得到的利益比在西沙、南沙群岛能得到的多了几万倍。
China discovered that it's more beneficial to develop its own economy.
所以当世界有贫穷现象出现的时候
，When there is poverty in the world,
一定要怎样发现出那些潜在能还没有发挥出来的可能，去发展那个新的层面，是我们可以从贫穷出来的。
We got to find how we can develop the potential that people can come out of the poverty
cycle. 所以我有时候单单思想施舍这个问题的时候。
Sometimes when I think about this contribution,
除了我很不愿意那些有一点钱就帮助人，就把他自己当作很大的慈善家，那种傲慢的姿态摆出来。
I do not want people to be arrogant just because they are in the position to give.
我更愿意那些人诚诚实实的找出人的需要。
I want these people to actually find out what's the
problem. 诚诚实实的找出他的潜在能。
And to find out the potential of those who are in need.
诚诚实实的帮助他们发展他还没有发展的技巧。
And to help them to develop their potential.
那用很纯正的经济学的原理把它带到更丰富的地步。
And using pure economic principles, bring them into abundance.
整个经济学的原理只有两条最重要的。
There are two important economic principles.
第一条就是找出潜在的资源。
The first one is to find potential resources.
第二就是好好平均的分配。
The second one is distribution.
怎样把资源找出来？
How do we find the resource?
怎样把财富造出来
？How do we create wealth?
怎样把财富分出去
？And then how we distribute wealth?
这样呢，国家百姓就有前途。
If we know how to do this, there will be future for the society.
你帮助穷人的时候
，When you are helping the poor,
你帮助他怎么样站起来
？You want to help him how to stand up.
帮助他怎样奋斗
？You want to help him to strive.
帮助他怎么样做工
？You want to help him to work.
帮助怎么样战胜他自己的懒惰。
To help him to win over his own laziness.
帮助他怎样找出他自己的出路。
To help him to find his own way out.
比你单单每个月给他一些米，给他一些钱更重要。
It is more important than just giving rice and money.
It is 把别人的潜在能把它发挥出来的时候。
When you are able to develop their potential,
你需要很诚实。
You need to be very honest.
看出他的困难在哪里。
And be able to see his problem.
很实在的。
And pragmatic.
找出他的可能性在哪里。
To find his potential.
所以这个恩赐是一个很大的恩赐。
So this is a great gift indeed.
施舍的你要看看。
Those who contribute to the needs of others.
施舍的你要诚实。
Give it generously and honestly.
还有智慧。
And then with wisdom.
现在的管理治理的，我今天不讲太多。
I'm not going to touch too much about leadership.
我们再讲一讲管理这个怜悯的人要刚性。
Let's talk about mercy, giving mercy.
怜悯人是很高贵的品质。
It is a very honorable thing to show mercy.
一个人内心深处常常有怜悯人的心。
When a person has a heart of mercy,
这个人就有神的形象样式在他。
This person expresses the image of God.
因为上帝是满有怜悯、满有慈悲、有丰富恩典的上帝。
Because our Lord is full of mercy and compassion and grace.
当你真正了解别人的时候，
When you truly understand another person,
也就是你自己应当经历过同样的感受、同样的痛苦。
It means that you would experience the same feeling, the same pain.
这样你的感情与他们的感情就变成一个一致性的调和。
And then you will have a unified emotion between the two.
这个就是中国人所讲的真正的知识分子应当有的心态。
And the Chinese say that a true intellectual ought to have such attitude.
我们现在讲知识分子，哦，受大学的教授知识分子，很多大学生是笨人，我告诉你。
We think that intellectuals are university graduates, but not so.
很多大学教授是笨得不得了的。
And university professors can be very silly.
真正的知识分子不是很多知识就是知识分子。
A true intellectual is not just a person with lots of things in their brain.
真正的知识分子。
A true intellectual
是把全人类的命运跟自己的生死连在一起的那种真理的知识，那才知识分子。
Is a person with the knowledge of truth that links the destiny of the world with himself.
所以把整个国家的命运跟自己的存活连在一起的人。
A person that links the destiny of his nation with himself.
整个时代、整个民族、整个百姓共生死，那个知识才是好的知识。
That knowledge that will enable the person to exist and die with the entire generation and people, that is good knowledge.
用更清楚的话讲出来。
To explain it clearer.
与人同忧、与人同乐的知识是真知识。
Those who mourn with others and rejoice with others is a true intellect.
无论你在什么地方。
It doesn't matter where you go.
无论你是多少少数目的少数。
Whether we are a minority or not,
只要你把多数人的幸福与在乎当作你的切身的问题，
so long as you care for the majority,
你就逃脱你少数的命运。
You will escape the destiny of being a minority.
华人在世界什么地方都是少数。
The Chinese are a minority everywhere.
华人就在中国是多数的。
Oh, except in China.
那么华人为什么很怕人家排华呢？
But we are always afraid of people.
哎，那些人排华，他们妒忌中国人，他们不喜欢中国人，我们受很多的苦。
We suffer.
那我要问，为什么人排华
？I want to ask why was this?
这些少数的华人
，because this minority
没有把多数的人的命运跟自己的生死连在一起。
Have never linked the destiny of their majority with themselves.
所以结果就变成人家所仇恨的少数。
And so they become minorities that other people hate.
这种被人仇恨的少数。
And this, the hatred for the minority.
因为他自己先没有把别人跟自己的关系打成一片。
Came about because the minority group refused to take care of the majority.
所以当少数的人，
if you are in the minority,
以多数的人忧患跟喜乐为自己的切身处事利己做人的这个基础的时候，
and if you mourn and rejoice together with the majority,
你就不再是少数。
You are no longer the minority.
你就变成多数人所爱戴的少数。
You will be a minority loved by the majority.
全世界的华人只要懂这句话，
If all the Chinese overseas know this,
排华的世界一定减少的。
There will be lesser problems in anti-Chinese.
当我们有钱的时候，
When we are rich,
我们铺张得很厉害。
We are very exaggerated.
我们张狂得很厉害。
We show off our wealth.
我举一个很简单的例子。
A simple example.
在菲律宾马尼拉的华人义山。
In Philippines, the cemetery of the Chinese,
就是中国人死埋葬的地方。
The place where the Chinese buried their
dead. 他们不但埋葬得很好。
Not only are they well buried.
坟墓的上面用大理石铺了一个大小房子。
They always built a house made of marble over the coffin.
雕刻的漂亮的不得了。
With great sculpture.
甚至装冷气在里面。
Perhaps also in air conditioning.
那么他们去扫墓去哪边可以在里面赌博。
So that when they visit the grave, they can gamble.
在里面宴会。
And have a party.
所以这些华人义山的就变成了就冷气房的坟墓。
And this become an air-conditioned cemetery.
那你盖的这么大，我就盖比你更大。
And they always compete with one another, build a bigger one.
如果你是小财主，该怎么着？我大财主，给他盖三倍的。
If I'm more wealthier than you, I will build an even larger grave than you.
那么就在华人义山的四周围。
But around this Chinese cemetery,
有许多菲律宾人还是吃沟里面的水。
There are many Filipinos that are still drinking from the sewer.
那么你叫他们不排华，可能吗？
Is it then not possible? Is it then impossible for them to accept?
你明白我这个意思的。 你现在不在菲律宾。
You're not living in the Philippines.
所以我一讲你就明白了。
So when once I say that, you understand.
等你住在菲律宾，你的爸爸坟墓比人小，你就不甘愿。
But if you live in the Philippines, you will behave like they do.
所以这是人性的败坏。
This is the decadence of humanity.
有人说呢，为什么印尼很多人排华？你住在印尼很苦，是不是呢？
Some people ask me, you know, Indonesia they're against the Chinese.
我的答案常常是不一样的。
My answer always quite different.
我很了解为什么印尼人会妒忌中国人。
I say I understand why the Indonesians hate the Chinese.
最少的民族，最少的可能就是华人。
The Chinese probably is the less number.
在他们乡村比较下来。
In comparison, we have the smallest number.
最好的房子华人住。
But the best house belongs to
Chinese. 最好的汽车华人用。
The best car belongs to Chinese.
如果他不妒忌，才不是亚当的子孙呢。
If they are not jealous, surely they are not from Adam.
所以这我们可以了解。
So we can understand.
但我每次这么回答的时候，
But every time I answer,
他们怎么回答呢？
They will say.
他们说，但是中国人是辛辛苦苦做来，他们太懒惰了。
Oh, but the Chinese work very hard. They are very lazy.
我很难回答。
So it's hard to answer.
因为他们就是怎么赢群，也没有办法做起来。
No matter how hard they work, they cannot be on stage.
思想比我们不如。
Firstly, they cannot think as fast as you. Secondly,
本钱没有.
They don't have the capital.
第三,
Thirdly,
政府又不帮助他们.
The government will not help them.
马来西亚政府比较帮助马来人的。
In Malaysia, the government will help the Malays.
有 protectionism.
There's protection.
所以对他们特别优待。
And there's affirmative action.
印尼不是这样的。
Not this case.
中国人贿赂的钱一多， 他把准字给中国人，不给他印尼人。
The Chinese can always bribe the government.
所以他们根本没有机会发展。
So the Indonesians have not many opportunities.
当然，最贪污、最有钱的还是印尼人，不是中国人。
But of course, the most corrupted are still the Indonesians.
今天我不谈这个事情。
I'm not going to go into.
但我要告诉你，少数民族。
But as a minority,
我先把整体的社会的命运跟自己的生死连在一起的时候，
If they link themselves with the destiny of the majority,
那么少数民族不必怕人排挤你，人拒绝你。
You will not be afraid that others will reject you.
这是人性应当有的知识。
This is the simple knowledge for humanity.
明白这种智慧的人，我叫他知识分子。
Those who understand such wisdom would be intellects.
一个人只明白赚钱的道理，不是知识分子。
Those who only understand how to make money are not intellects.
怎样不必做工可以赚最多钱，最懂这种知识的，就是小偷，就是强盗。
The robbers and the people who steal will know exactly how to make the most money with the least effort.
今天用不公正手段做生意的人，就合法的强盗。
And those people who get a lot of money with illegal means are just legal thieves.
他所知的就是怎么样挖钱，怎么样弄钱的知识，不是真的真理的知识。
Their knowledge is not the knowledge of truth, but the knowledge of grabbing more money.
把人性的困难、人性的败坏、人性能够发挥出来、潜在能了解，成为你个人生死重要的知识，这个叫做知识分子。
An intellectual will be a person that understands the weaknesses of humanity and are able and determined to solve it.
知识分子懂得与全体的百姓一同忧愁。
The intellectuals will grieve with the majority.
知识分子懂得与全体的百姓一同快乐。
And will rejoice with the people.
不但如此，先后也很清楚的，更是高级的知识分子。
And a really good intellectual will be able to know his biography.
用中国古人的话来说，
using an ancient Chinese teaching,
先天下之忧而忧。
And he will first worry about the worries of the nation.
第二句什么，知道不知道？
Then the second one.
后天下之乐而乐。
And you will be rejoicing only after the nation rejoices.
连先忧后乐都明白次序。
So even the order of things was correct.
这就是真正的知识分子。
And this will be a true intellectual.
为什么各地都惧怕学生起来游行？
Why is it that every country is afraid of the students in demonstration?
最强的政府很担忧大学生出来反抗。
The strongest government is afraid that the university students will come and demonstrate.
大学生的良心是整个民族的代表。
The conscience of a university student represents that of the society.
大学生出来争的时候，
When a university student come out and struggle,
不是为了自己的好处，
They don't do it for themselves.
他为了国家的好处，
They are doing it for the country.
虽然许多大学生在念书的时期， 他的知识还是肤浅的，
Although they may have very shallow thinking,
但是他的良心是清洁的，
But their conscience is clear.
看事情是公正的。
They have a sense of justice.
所以很多政府最怕大学生。
So many governments are afraid of university students.
当大学生抓到了整个社会的一些重要的知识的时候。
When university students achieve important understanding.
再用他们的正义感去搞运动的时候。
And have a sense of justice.
贪污的、强权的政府有一天一定站不住。
Corrupted and authoritative government will not stand.
因为这些大学生的良心。
Because the conscience of the university students
就是时代良心,
reflects the conscience of the time
就是社会良心,
and that of the society.
真正社会的良心应当是基督教的讲台,
but the true conscience of the society ought to be the pulpit of Christianity. You want to remember this for the rest of your life.
The pulpit of the church should be the conscience of the society.
教会的讲台应该是社会的良心,
这是我们从先知的信息中间找到的原因。
This is something we understand from the prophets.
社会的不公,
the injustice of the society,
社会的错事,
the mistakes of the
society, 没有人讲, 没有人看见的时候,
when no one will point it out,
神的仆人是最先看见, 最先勇敢讲出来,
the servant of God will first spot it and boldly proclaim it.
上帝真正的仆人,
the true servant of God,
应当有影响总统, 君王, 这个王公, 到百姓的最大的力量,
ought to have the greatest power to influence the president, the kings, and the authority.
是约翰责备西律王,
John the Baptist rebuked King Herod.
摩西责备法老王,
Moses rebuked Pharaoh.
拿单责备大卫王,
Nathan rebuked David.
就给我们看见神的道高过人的政治。
It tells us the word of God is higher than power of man.
今天的传道人对有钱人就摇尾巴。
But many preachers were afraid of the rich.
对穷人就作威作福,
and very fierce towards the poor.
还有没有能力做上帝的仆人是大大可怀疑的事情。
So how can they ever have the power to become the true servant of God?
求主怜悯我们。
May the Lord have mercy on us.
教会真正需要回到神的话语。
The church needs to return to the word of God.
真正需要回到神的原则。
The church needs to return to the principle of God.
否则我们讲了一套的空话。
Or we will be speaking empty words.
我们讲的是一些麻醉人心的话语。
We will say words that fulfill our own desires.
不但不能改社会，连改教会本身的措施都没有办法。
We can't even influence the church, let alone the society.
求主怜悯我们。
May the Lord have mercy on us.
这样对贫穷,
towards poverty,
对怜悯,
towards mercy,
我们应当有这些真知识在里面。
We need to have this true knowledge.
我们就能成为世界的光, 成为世上的盐。
Then we can become the salt and light of the world.
我相信今天神对你讲了很多比平常没有听到的话语。
I believe that the Lord has spoken to you this evening more than usual.
那么当一个人把整个生死跟社会整个民族的命运连在一起的时候,
when a person links his own destiny with his entire nation,
他可以成为当代的英雄。
He can be the hero of that history era.
真正的拯救人类的困难的时候,
but when you truly want to solve the problems of humanity,
更要认识两件事情,
there are two things you need to know.
第一就是罪性在人中间的败坏的侵蚀,
the first one is the effect of sin in humanity.
第二就是神救赎的功能超过政治跟社会的力量。
The second one is the salvation of God is more powerful than politics or the society.
有一次我在这个加拿大 奥大华他们的首都对中国的知识分子讲道。
Once I was preaching to the Chinese intellectual in Ottawa.
我说我们已经试试看了马克思。
I said we have already tried Marxism.
我们已经试试看了恩格斯。
We have already tried Hegel.
我们已经试试看了杜威。
We already tried 杜威。
我们已经试试看了许多的理论。
And we have tried many theories.
请问中国什么时候试试看让耶稣基督光照我们？
My question is, when will China try Jesus Christ?
当基督的真理普照大地的时候。
When the truth of Jesus Christ illuminated the world,
基督的精神在政治最高领袖的心中的时候,
when the spirit of Jesus Christ is in the highest politician,
基督的命令我们全民去遵行的时候,
when the entire people fulfill the command of Jesus Christ,
中国一定不一样,
China will surely change.
当毛泽东感到中国没有前途，要把马克思带来的时候,
when Mao Zedong discovered that there's no future in China and brought in Karl Marx,
让马克思的中国影响了几十年，结果到了大文化大革命的时候, 中国变成乱道、穷道、落伍道、这个可怕到仇恨到一个全世界没有更可怕的社会的地步。
In the end, China becomes such a frightening society by the Cultural Revolution.
邓小平悬崖了吗？
And Deng Xiaoping just stopped everything.
那哪一匹马呢？
Which kind of, how did he stop it?
马克思那一匹马。
He stopped Karl Marx.
才有一些前途出来了。
And then there is some hope.
但是还没有把耶稣基督的精神。
But there is still no spirit of Jesus Christ
带到我们中国的社会来,
in the Chinese society.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹,
dear brothers and sisters,
我们作为基督徒的,
as Christians,
我们的力量很有限,
We are limited in our power.
社会中间，我们是最少数的一批。
In our society, we are the minority.
我们的印尼基督教是少数。
In Indonesia, that is the case.
你们在马来西亚基督教是少数。
Also in Malaysia.
在香港基督徒是少数。
In Hong Kong.
在台湾基督徒是少数。
In Taiwan.
在越南基督徒是少数。
In Vietnam.
在泰国基督徒是少数。
In Thailand, even more so.
在日本基督徒是少得不得了的少数。
In Japan, they are so small in numbers.
但是不要紧。
But it's okay.
我们有为全民的心。
So long as we have the heart of the people,
我们有以基督的心为心的心。
And we have the heart of Jesus Christ.
当神赐福华人的时候。
When God blessed the Chinese.
赐福基督徒的时候。
When God blessed the Christians.
我们照这些恩赐的应用。
When we use all these gifts of God.
把神给我们的精神发挥出来。
And we express the spirit of God.
劝化人。
When we encourage others.
帮助人。
And help them.
怜悯人。
And have mercy on them.
有一天。
One day.
有人会看出神的生命。透过基督的灵在我们身上显明出来。
People will see that the Spirit of God is in us, and they will see Jesus Christ in us.
今天特别补充我们上个礼拜所讲这几个人。
These are things that I will add from in onto what I already said last week.
现在我们再讲一点点。
Let us carry on a little bit more.
我们讲下面的一节的圣经。
The verse that follows
是罗马书第十二章。
Romans chapter 12.
我们再读下面一节圣经。上面说说爱人什么不可虚假。要恨恶善要前进，大家说一二三，爱人不可虚假，恶要厌恶，善要前进。这个地方呢，突然间提到对人与人之间的关怀跟爱心应当怎么样的态度。
Suddenly we see how we ought to love one another.
爱人就是爱人嘛。
When you say when you love someone,
那有虚假的爱真正的爱呢？
Is there insincere love?
有。
Yes, there is.
圣经好几次提到爱跟真实要连在一起。
The Bible many a times links love with truth.
保罗在以弗所书第四章说。
In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says,
你们要用爱心说诚实话。
We ought to speak the truth in love.
爱跟诚实要在一起。
And so love and truth is linked.
在这里呢，保罗又说。
Here the apostle Paul says,
爱人不可虚假。
Love must be sincere.
必须是爱跟真诚要连在一起。
It means love and sincerity is linked.
彼得前书第一章就告诉我们。
First Peter chapter 1 says,
你们就要切实彼此相爱。
You must truly love one another.
存着诚实的心，切实的彼此相爱。
With an honest heart, really love one another.
这些都提醒我们，爱很多是假的。
This tells us that many a times there's false love.
哪一种爱是真的呢？
What sort of love is real?
哪一种爱是假的呢？
What sort of love is false?
我想这件事情呢，这就里面很容易看得出来，很容易分辨得出来。
I think instinctively we can tell the difference.
甚至你两岁的孩子还不懂这些，不懂人生经验，他很清楚知道谁是真爱他，谁不是真爱他。
Even a two-year-old child sometimes will be able to tell.
因为这些孩子里面有一个良心的自救。
These children have an instinctive conscience.
很敏感的感受到。
Sensitively, they will.
这个感情是真的，这个感情是假的。
This feeling is real, the other one is not.
这个感情跟假的感情怎么分辨出来
？How do we differentiate the two?
那是因为我人生经验多了，我可以分辨出来。
Maybe you say I'm very experienced, so I can tell.
但是两岁的孩子没有人生经验。
But a two-year-old child will not have experience.
他怎么可以分辨出来呢
？How do they tell?
他良心的深处告诉他。
Deep in their heart, their conscience tells them.
真正爱他的人。
Those people who truly love them
是恒常的
will love them
是不变的
time, will not change,
是真心的
with sincere heart,
所以他感受那个纯洁性在
so they can feel the purity
我们做的大人啊给人骗比小孩子给人骗更多的
as adults we are deceived by many more people than a child
这表示我们的理性的功用常常不可靠的
it means that our reason often cannot work properly
有的人越想越懂越多越有经验越笨
The more we think, sometimes the more stupid we become.
因为他在错误的知识中间长大。
Because we grew up in the wrong teachings.
希特勒讲过一句话。
Adolf Hitler says.
他说了100次说谎话。
If you lie 100 times.
就可以使人相信那不是谎话，那是真理。
In the end, it will become the truth.
你把谎话重复讲100次，就会变成人家相信的真理。
If you repeat a lie often enough, it will become the truth.
所以这种思想呢
，such thinking process，
就告诉我们人性有很大的弱点。
Tells us that humanity is weak.
我们常常相信权威。
Many a times we believe in the authority.
权威常常有不对的根基。
But sometimes the authority is wrong.
现在为什么你买哪一种牌的东西
？When you buy a certain brand,
因为很多人买。
You buy because many people.
所以你也买。
So you do the same.
所以你的心中把很多人当作权威。
Therefore you treat the majority as the authority.
你说但是不可能，这么多人这么笨跟人家骗，当然很多人表示他们也有他们的厉害嘛。
You say that well because many people buy, so they must be right.
那么你把这些很多人买，把它做个统计的时候。
But when you do a proper study,
你说你为什么买蜡烛
？You ask a person why do you buy this?
他们可能说因为我看到广告谁买。
They say well because of the advertisement.
所以这样的你认为广告带着权威。
So advertisement has power.
所以从数量变成广告。
From the quantity, it becomes the advertisement.
所以商人很懂得怎样用广告。
Businessmen know how to advertise.
广告呢？广告香水的时候。
When you advertise a perfume,
他一定请一个很著名的歌星、很美丽的模特儿来做香水的广告，他不会请一个丑八怪出来。
They will invite the most beautiful woman or celebrity as the spokesperson.
所以你看到那么漂亮的人出来了。
So you say, well, such a beautiful person.
下面用那瓶香水。
And they use this perfume.
你就想，连这么美的人都用这种香水，那所以可能因为用这种香水才会那么美。
So you will link the beauty with the use of the perfume.
再想到呢？这个有钱的美人，这个电影明星一定用了几百种香水，结果这种最好，所以他选大概不会错。
And you think that the celebrity picked this perfume over hundreds others?
最糟糕的你说，如果我用这种香水，我会像她那么美。
The worst part is you think if I use this, I will become like her.
那个就是完完全全错的。
Then you're completely wrong.
那么现在你知道很多广告费用去他们多少钱
？You know the advertisement costs a lot of money.
你不敢想象。
It's impossible
有的超过 30%，
sometimes it's 30% of the product，
超过 40%，
maybe 40% of the product cost。
为了花掉这么多的钱，
in order to spend this money，
他可以赚到更多的钱的时候，
and make more money，
他们认为还是值得。
It is still worthwhile。
所以呢，这里面有许多非真理的成分在里面。
There are many falsehood in here。
所以我们今天有许多的我们的这个爱好。
And many of our hobbies,
我们的决定
the decisions
我们的花费
the way we spend money,
是根据我们想象中的某一些的权威来行的
It is based on authority that we think about.
我们那些权威是不是真的权威不知道
But are these the true authority?
所以呢我说呢大人受欺骗的成分比小孩子更多
So I say adults are often deceived much more than children.
上帝给小孩子像指南针一样的敏感
God gave a child a sensitivity like a compass.
谁真谁假
？Who is right and who is wrong？
这就是性的了解。
They have instinctive understanding.
我不是说小孩子不能骗的。
I'm not saying that children
cannot be deceived. 很多小孩子也给人家骗。
Many children are deceived.
但是这句话告诉我们，你爱人就要真实，不要虚假。
But this verse says we ought to love with sincerity.
这是神给基督徒一个很重要的一个吩咐。
An important commandment from God.
你不要像那些犯罪的人。
Do not be like the sinners.
你不要像那些为利而产生感情的人。
Do not be like the people who treat others well because of benefits.
因为他们感情的背后是谎话，是虚假。
Behind all these things is falsehood and deception.
如果你爱人，你要真正为了爱人而爱人。
If you love somebody, the love must be sincere.
你真正为了爱他而牺牲。
You ought to sacrifice because of this love.
那么你说，如果用虚假的爱来解释，到底能举出一些什么例子出来吗？
What sort of examples do we have for love of insincerity?
我们爱别人一定有一些原因的。
We love others because of some reason.
为什么你会爱这个人不爱别的人？
Why do you love this person and not the other person?
如果是这个人因为很听我的话，所以我爱他。
Sometimes we say, well, he listened to me.
那为什么你要他听你的话呢？
But why do you want the person to listen to you?
因为听的话，我可以利用他做我要做的事情。
Maybe you want to make use of him.
所以当他感到你爱他的时候
，When a person feel your love，
其实你真正的动机是为了利用他。
Your true motive actually is to make use of him.
因为要利用人而对人表示爱的，这个就是不诚实的爱。
This will be an example of insincere love.
爱人不可虚假
，Love must be sincere.
就隐藏着你不可有错误的动机去爱人。
In other words, you ought to love somebody with the right motive.
醉翁之意不在酒。
Sometimes our motive can be falsified.
如果一个人爱
，when a person loves，
你爱他
，and you love that person，
你除了真正为了牺牲自己成全对方
，and you're willing to sacrifice yourself for that person，
其他的动机都是可以怀疑的。
All other motives are suspect.
所以真正的爱是什么呢
？What then is true love？
真正的爱的动机是什么呢
？What then is the true motive for love？
我再讲一次，牺牲自己。成全对方。
A love that is willing to sacrifice himself for others.
大家说，牺牲自己，成全对方。When you truly want to sacrifice yourself in order to accomplish others, you have true love.
当你真正愿意牺牲自己成全别人的话，这就是真爱。
用这个定义来看呢，
When you use this definition,
许多夫妻的爱都不一定是真正的爱。
We will find that even love between husband and wife may not be real.
如果一个男的为了女人的美丽而爱她，
If a man loves a woman for her beauty,
这个女的为了男的聪明而爱她，
And the woman loves the man for his intelligence,
男的为了女人的聪明而爱她。
And the man loved the woman for her
fame. 女的为了这个男人的钱财而爱他。
The woman loved the man for his wealth.
那么结果呢？好像很相爱。
Is destined to be loved.
到了有一天，这个女子的美丽失去的时候。
But one day when she loses her beauty.
这个男人的钱财已经破产的时候。
When the man loses his wealth.
这个家庭的爱的根基就动摇。
The foundation of love for the family will shake.
五年以前。
Five years ago.
东南亚经济动摇得很厉害。
There were great financial difficulties in
Southeast Asia. 金融的大风波突然间来到。
Great financial disaster.
很多有钱人突然间一夜之间变成穷臭大。
Many wealthy people became poor overnight.
那时候许多做太太的才知道，原来她的丈夫不是她想象那么有钱那么厉害。
Many wives suddenly discover their husbands are not that intelligent.
有一个做太太的捶她的丈夫，你骗我，你骗我。
A wife beat her husband and said, "You deceived me."
我才知道你的生意95%的钱是欠来的。
Now I know that 90% of your business.
而且你是借美金还利息的。
And then you borrowed US dollar.
现在美金起了5倍，我变成最穷的人了。
Suddenly they go bankrupt because US dollar went up.
捶他的先生。
And she beat her husband.
有的自杀。
Some killed themselves.
有的离开。
Some left.
因为从前爱他，为了他有钱。
Because she loved him for his wealth.
所以这是很危险的。
This is dangerous.
我们今天无论是兄弟朋友之间的爱，
whether it is brotherly love or love between your friends,
夫妻私生的爱，
or love between husband and wife,
都不能有其他的动机。
We ought not to have other motives.
我们求主接近我们，
May the Lord purify us.
给我们愿意牺牲自己，
that we are willing to sacrifice ourselves.
愿意成全对方，
to accomplish the others.
否则我们甜言蜜语讲我喜欢你，我爱你，最后是损害别人。是使别人受毁坏。
Oh, all sweet nothings that we whisper to each other will finally damage the other person.
圣洁的爱
，a pure love，
建造生命
，will build life。
肮脏污秽的爱
，but a filthy love，
毁坏生命
，will destroy life。
大家说，一二三，圣洁的爱，建造生命；肮脏污秽的爱，毁坏生命。每一个在恋爱中间的人。
Every couple that is in love,
你要求主净化你的感情。
Ask the Lord to purify your emotions.
每一个关心别人、照顾别人、有爱的行动的人。
Everyone who has the action of love and concern for others.
求主纯洁我们的动机。
Ask the Lord to purify our motive.
爱是牺牲自己。
Love is self-sacrificial.
爱是成全对方。
Love is sacrificing yourself for others.
如果你的牺牲是钓饵的一种功用。
If your sacrifice is but a bait,
你把一个东西放在饵那边，那么你把这个的钩呢放去钓鱼。
It's as if you are fishing for something.
当你把鱼钓上来的时候，
when you catch the fish,
你说我是牺牲钓饵啊。
You say, well, I sacrifice the bait.
那么你去成全什么呢？
But what have you done?
你才是成全你自己啊。
You have benefited yourself.
所以你说爱你，为你牺牲了小虾，所以你就整条变成我的了。
I sacrifice you and sacrifice a little prawn and then the whole body come to me.
这个牺牲不是成全对方。
This is not sacrificing for others.
所以我们每一个人把这个定义把它搞清楚了以后。
When we are clear about this definition.
你想别人从我身上得到什么好处。
And we think about how others will benefit from us.
不是我从别人身上得到什么好处。
Not how we will benefit from others.
如果你爱螃蟹。
If you love crabs.
我告诉你螃蟹一定不爱。
I tell you the crabs will hate you.
如果你爱鸭。
If you love ducks,
我告诉你，鸭一定死在你手里。
Ducks will die because of you.
这种爱不是为对方的成全，是为自己的成全。
This sort of love is selfish love.
所以这句话就变得很有意义了。
And so this verse is important.
你明白了吗？
You understand this?
有一次呢，就一个美国人坐在飞机在我旁边。
Once I was sitting beside an American on a flight.
后来呢，航空小姐问你要吃什么东西。
The stewardess asked, "What do you want for food?"
他说 "Do you have duck?"
Yeah, do you have duck?
他问他有没有鸭。
Do you have duck?
我就问他 "You like duck?"
I ask you like that.
Oh yes, I like duck. I love duck very much.
我很喜欢鸭。
我觉得这 all duck doesn't love you.
他说鸭不。
他说哈哈哈哈笑起来了。That's true. Duck never like me. 他说，因为我爱鸭，我就是要杀死鸭。
I love ducks. You have to die for me.
我就要吃掉鸭。
I will eat them up.
所以以后如果有人说我爱你。
So if someone say I love you,
你就问他你是不是要吃掉我？
你 ask, are you going to eat me?
你是不是要杀死我？他说你讲什么？ 我知道你爱螃蟹，你一定杀螃蟹的；你爱鸡，你一定吃鸡的。那么你爱我什么意思？
What does it mean to love？
再一次啊，爱是什么？牺牲自己，成全对方。你把这个定义放在上帝的身上的时候，
When you use this definition on God，
上帝爱是。
God loved the world，
神就叫他的独生子赐给他。
That He gave us His only begotten Son，
叫一切信他的人
，That all who believe in Him，
不至灭亡
，shall not perish，
反得永生
，but have eternal life。
成全谁
？Who does it accomplish？
成全谁
？Who does it benefit？
成全我们这些罪人
，It benefits us sinners，
不至灭亡
，That we will not perish，
反得永生
，but have everlasting life。
牺牲谁
？He sacrificed Himself，
牺牲三位一体的第二个位格
，The second person in the triune God。
感谢上
，Thanks be to God。
爱人
，Love，
不可。
Must be sincere.
大家说，爱人不可虚假。我今天就讲到这个地方。
And I will stop here.
我们大家站起来祷告。
Let us stand up together and pray.